Okay, I'm going to give you a little something to do some studying at home. So for those of you who do that, you might want to write these things down before we begin. In Genesis chapter 4, how many things can you find concerning Cain and Abel, concerning sin, false doctrine, salvation, Christ, and attitude? Get all that? Now, I know some of you do this, and if you, someone could do me a favor, write this down for Linda. You writing this down for Linda? Your mom usually does this.
And Brenda.
And Brenda, she do it too? Okay. I'll see that she has one. All right. And let me give you some scripture to go along with that to help you out a little bit. And we already showed you some of it last week, but Matthew chapter 23, 35. Luke chapter 11, 51. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. And Hebrews 12, 24. And this is important concerning false doctrine and how false doctrine reacts to the truth. Acts chapter 12, 1 to 11, and chapter 17, verse 59. I think that's correct, but you'll find it there. How false doctrine reacts to the truth. I don't know, for those of you that were sitting in the back last week, you had a good indication of how false doctrine reacts to the truth, didn't you? It gets angry. That's one thing it does. Maybe even violent. So anyhow, so I already gave you some hints, okay? Okay, Father's Day. We have to do a Father's Day message. I don't like to do this kind of thing, but I guess we have to do it. And did you get all that down? Yeah, I didn't go too fast, did I? Sometimes I get wound up. We're going to do a Father's Day message. Turn in your Bibles, if you will. We'll begin probably in Proverbs chapter 4. When I was a young man, or young boy, rather, my father and I never really communicated much. I really don't remember spending very little time with him. Actually, probably once a year we went fishing, that's about it, but didn't spend much time with him, didn't communicate a lot. But when I got in trouble, he was always there, and I was always in trouble. And he had to bail me out of jail many times, and I was in trouble. I was a bad, bad kid. And I remember when I grew up years later, just a couple of years before he died, not too long ago, I said to him, "How'd you ever put up with me, Dad? I was pretty mean." He said, "Oh, you weren't so bad." Whatever. I knew I was. And I remember when I was 14 or 15, the sheriff pulled in the driveway, and I jumped under the bed, like as if that's going to help, you know. And yeah, I did a lot of things, but my dad always defended me when I got in trouble. He was the first one to discipline me, though. He was a strict disciplinarian. And as a matter of fact, I was a little bit afraid of him. I shouldn't have been, but probably I was afraid of him because I was the things I've been doing. So I probably should have been. But I remember one time, in particular, another thing, I never could figure out how he always knew when I skipped school. And I skipped school a lot. He always knew it. I always wondered, how did he know that? But he always knew, and I should have known how he knew. He always kept tabs on what we were doing, but I never could figure that out. Well, I thought I had it made. Well, I skipped school and just have a good old time, and next thing I know, where were you today? he always knew. A father worries inwardly. You don't always see it. A mother worries outwardly, don't they? You always see a mother's emotion. Outwardly, she worries. A father, maybe that's why us fellows die younger. We hold it in. Yeah. But the ultimate father, and we're going to look at a couple of fathers in the Bible this morning, but the ultimate father is God the Father. And you know, we see on TV, we see these cases where children grow up without fathers. Well, that's no excuse to go bad. if you got a decent mother or somebody, you got to have somebody in your life that is some sort of an influence. But when a person realizes that the ultimate father is God the Father, follow His example, follow His teaching, and you can't go wrong. Can you not? Absolutely. And we're going to take a look at some of that this morning. You know, one thing my dad did was, you know, I should have realized when I was late, out late, he'd come looking for me. And he found me almost every time. He never allowed me to be out late, and as I grew a little bit older, he'd allow me to stay out a little bit later, but if I wasn't home at midnight, he'd be looking for me. And he always found me. I don't know how he did it. But you get home. Okay. He was the boss. He was the boss. I remember one time, I was going to mention this. I couldn't get my car running. I had to go somewhere. And he would never tell me how to fix anything. I guess maybe trying to make me learn how to do it myself. And I worked on his car and worked on it. Couldn't get it running. I wanted to go somewhere. I had somewhere I wanted. And I finally got up enough courage to ask him to use his, because I never did that. That was a no-no. Anyway, he said, okay. And I got to where I was going. About 5 minutes later, he pulled in with my car. He fixed it. I said, what'd you do? He said, I fixed it. I said, yeah, but I fixed it. He took his car and left. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, he was unusual, my dad was. He was pretty meticulous, too. He would do something and just putter away at it and putter away at it until it was done. I'd be flipping out. I mean, my wife's like that, too. You know, just take something and chip away and chip away until it's finally done. That's the way my dad, just slow, meticulous, and pretty soon he'd be done. Me, I'd be all worked up. You know, that's me. But he wasn't that way. And simple things. I remember the simple things. He just loved the simple things. He would build little gadgets or find them in yard sales or usually make them, didn't he? And then he'd go sit along the roadside in West Virginia and set up shop and put up a little sign and sell them. And he enjoyed that. That's what he enjoyed. And he just, because he got out and talked to people. He was that kind of person. But,
he was a patient man.
Patient man, yeah. Yeah. He had to be. He put up with me when I was a kid. So, yeah. I was a little ornery. I was a bad kid, got in a lot of trouble. Yeah, the police and the local police and the sheriff's department did not like me. Yeah, and any time I got out away from our home and towards the city, and towards the village, why, here they come, pull me over, search my car. I don't know, I never did know what they were looking for. But,
hot rod.
Huh?
You like the hot rod.
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to drive I used to drive about 90 miles an hour in the middle of the night with no lights on. That's dumb, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Some example I am. I never told my kids that. Yeah. Didn't want to give my kids, but I did, especially in a moonlit night. Oh, man, just what if somebody would have been walking and I didn't see them? But I used to get a thrill out of that. Go as fast as that old car would go. Yeah. And I put a new engine in it, souped it up, you know, and it was... Yeah, I did that. I remember one fellow in particular, I took him from Painesville to Chardon. We took about 3 minutes. I was doing 120 miles an hour in second gear. I'm not lying. This was Oldsmobile, big Oldsmobile. And when we got to Chardon, he got out of the car and said, I ain't never riding with you again. I didn't know why. It didn't bother me none. Yeah. But those were some of the stupid things I did. And my dad said, oh, you weren't so bad. I knew he couldn't have meant that. But he did say one time to my wife, never told me, when I got into the ministry and started going to school and I built Heritage Bible Church, he told my wife that time, he said, I'm proud of him, didn't he? He never said it to me. He would have never said that to me, but I'll never forget that. So anyway, let's take a look at some fathers this morning. We're going to take a look at a few. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know, maybe, it may be that some people can't remember their father. Or maybe your father died young or whatever. Maybe your father wasn't a very good person to you. Who knows? But this was written by a man by the name of Solomon, whose father was King David, probably one of the greatest men in the Bible, and sinned, just like everybody else. We all sin. But he was a good father. But the real message here is God the Father. The message here comes from God the Father. Now, it may have been King David saying these things to Solomon, but the message comes from God the Father. So you may not have the Father, you may not remember the Father, but get the message from God the Father, because that's the real message here, the ultimate Father. He says in verse 2, For I give you good doctrine. Who's that come from? Jesus Christ. Isn't he the Word of God? He is the Word. I give you good doctrine, Jesus said. Jesus is the Father, the ultimate Father. Hold your place. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 9. I had a person tell me one time, she said, Jesus isn't the Father. Look in verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wonderful Counselor. Think about that. That goes deeper than you can imagine. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses claim Jesus Christ isn't God Almighty. But this verse says he is, doesn't it? The Mighty God. The Everlasting Father, Jesus Christ. The Prince of Peace. You see, now turn back to Proverbs. Jesus Christ is the ultimate Father. He and the Father are one. For I give you good doctrine, verse 2, forsake ye not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. What does he mean by that? Going down to verse 10, if you will. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Do you know something? If you obey God's commandments, obey God's law, live according to the way he wants you to, you will have a long life. That's probably I'm going to die young. I should have been dead a long time ago. But if you live a long life, that's why God gave the law. Did you know that? And if you obey the law, if you obey God's law, and you never obey all of it, you'll never obey the Ten Commandments. As a matter of fact, it's impossible for you and I to obey some of the Ten Commandments. Did you know that? How in the world can you obey the Sabbath? How can you do that? You can't obey the Sabbath. The Sabbath was yesterday. You can't do it. But there are many other laws that God gave. There were dietary laws. And if we obey those dietary laws, you'll have long life. It's that simple. You know, one of the things God told the nation of Israel is when you go to the bathroom, go without the camp, dig a hole and bury it. That's simple, isn't it? Isn't that simple? Now, to some people it sounds dirty. And no, it's part of God's law. Obey that law, keep it simple. You keep down diseases. Isn't that simple? Obey God's law. There are so many things God wants us to obey. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thy heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Verse 4. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Now, what Solomon is saying here, that he probably learned some of this from his father David, but in reality it comes from God. So, you know what? A godly father teaches the Word of God to his children, doesn't he? If you take your children to church, that's a wonderful, wonderful, that makes you a good parent, in most cases. Some people go to church and don't carry a Bible, and then they get up and walk out when the truth is heard, you know. It's a little different. But teaching your children the Word of God is the most honorable and noble thing a parent can do. Going down here to verse 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be, your Bible may say, straightened, but means hindered. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Remember when I was young, I suppose one of the reasons my dad always wanted to know where I was at. But a bunch of guys came and picked me up and said, well, we're going to go out tonight. Oh, okay, where are we going? Oh, nowhere in particular. And they had a bunch of alcohol, beer. And I tried drinking. I really didn't like it. And I was sitting in the back seat, and this other fellow here, and a couple guys up front. All they did was drive around drinking this beer. And I'd take a sip out of this, and I didn't like it, and I'd give it to this other kid, and he'd drink it. And they'd give me another bottle, and I'd take a sip, and give it to this other kid. Pretty soon, he was throwing up. And they stopped the car, and he opened the door, and he was just throwing up. And I'm thinking, you know, this is not my idea of a good time. That was the last time I did that. And after that, I just never did anything with anybody else. I did everything by myself. I don't know why. It wasn't because I was moral or good or had a lot of understanding. Nothing like that. I was just lucky. I did everything myself. I didn't drink, didn't even like the stuff. And then later on in life, when I got a little bit older and went to work for CEI many years later, I learned to like beer. And on a hot day, man, when I'd be thirsty, I'd go somewhere and I'd get me a 3 drafts and drink them things in a second. I learned to like it. And finally, I don't drink anymore or anything like that, but when I was young, there was just something about that drinking that stuff and throwing up just didn't make any sense to me. I was lucky. But God said, and he said, now I'm not saying it was wicked. I'm not saying that. We're just young kids. You know, they were just young boys trying to get a grip on life, trying to understand probably what their parents were doing. You know, mom and dad drink, let's go out and do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Well, I never saw any of that, but where was I here? Verse 14. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of the evil men. You know what? If you listen to God's word, the old saying, you are who you hang around with, is true, isn't it? You hang around with the wrong people, you're going to do what they do. You hang around with the right people, you're going to do what they do. And it's up to the father, actually, to tell a child that. My father used to monitor who I hung around with. If he didn't like the person, he would try to disillusion me from hanging around with that person. And he always tried, and that's one of the reasons he made sure I was home at a certain time. He wanted to monitor who I was hanging around with. My father was absolutely right about that, wasn't he? You are who, the old, what is he saying, birds of a feather fly together? Well, pay attention to which birds you're going to fly with, you know what I mean? You fly with the wrong birds, one of these days you're going to fly into a bad situation. Pick and choose who you hang around with. You hang around with the wrong people, that's where you're going to wind up. Avoid it, verse 15. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. When you get around those who are into evil things, turn, pass away. You know, a lot of people are in the internet, into pornography and so forth. And it's easy to get involved in that stuff. Not just pornography, but any kind of sin, evil. It's easy to get involved in it if you don't pay attention and watch what you're doing. And the most important thing a mother or a father can do is watch what your children are doing. Watch what they're watching on TV. Watch what they're doing with their computer. Pay attention to what they're doing. Enter not into the path that will get not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass it by. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away. Verse 17, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. A good father teaches his children the path of light, the path of righteousness. Like your bulletin say on the cover, I don't know exactly what it says, something about a good child is like, I don't remember exactly, but I thought it was pretty good when I read it. I don't have one. I got a blank one. But anyway. So anyway. Oh, yeah. The Father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that, thank you very much, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. That's absolutely true, isn't it? You teach them the right way to go, and then when they go the right way, they will be a joy. Okay, let's go over. We're going to take a look at someone specifically here in Luke chapter 15, if you will. We're not going to take a lot of time with it. We just want to look at a couple of things in Luke chapter 15. We could go throughout the entire book of Proverbs and come up to the same conclusion. God's word is wisdom. God's word is instruction. Follow it and have a good life. But in Luke chapter 15, we have a specific case here of the lost son and a perfect father's attitude. You've all heard of the prodigal son. That's who this is, the prodigal son, the wayward son. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, you've heard this story from many, many preachers. Let me give you just an indication of what's going on here. In those days, the children received the inheritance, and it was divided equally. And in this case, the father had a pretty good inheritance. He had a lot of servants, probably a lot of land, grew a lot of wheat, and so forth and so forth and so forth. The youngest son said, I want mine. I want to see what life is all about. I want to go out there and survey the world. I want mine. So the father gave it to him. Now, he knew it was a mistake, don't you think? He knew what was going to happen. The young boy was probably too young to really know what was going on in the world. But the father said, well, you want it, I'll give it to you. And so he did. And so in verse 13, and many days after that, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And that's sort of what we read in Proverbs, isn't it? You get around the wrong people, it'll destroy you. And so that's what he did. He wasted his substance, everything he owned, all of his inheritance that his father gave him. I doubt really if his father gave him everything, but he gave him enough to get him out there and show him a good lesson. Well, okay, if that's what you want, I'll give it to you, but, you know, I'm sure the father knew, but nevertheless, the father worried, didn't he? And verse 14, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. I want to tell you something. If you don't plan for tomorrow, you're going to be in want. And I don't know how many times I've said this. If you've got a credit card, you get rid of it. You might need one for special occasions or emergencies. But if you got more than one credit card, get rid of that thing. You'll find out later on in life that things are so much better when you don't have to pay those credit cards back. Sooner or later, you'll have cash to pay for everything you want. I'm serious. Throw those credit cards away. Anyway, doesn't say anything about the kid having a credit card here, but he probably had a bank one card. I'm sure he did. And verse 15, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, think about that. Sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, here was a Jewish boy. A Jewish boy in a far country feeding swine. It was against the Jewish law to do that. It was against the Jewish law to have anything to do with swine. It's against the Arabian law to have anything. They don't like pigs either. But I'm not going to go there. But he went into a far country, and a citizen of that country sent him into his fields to feed the swine. What a low-class, degrading job. And he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? You know, it's a funny thing. When we're young, we get to be about old, 15, 16, 17, and we look at mom and dad and we say, and we're kind of ashamed of them maybe. And, you know, we look at mom and dad and say, boy, they're, you know, I look around the world, mom and dad aren't too smart, and they're not, they're just not cool. You know, that's probably the way this boy felt. Yeah, they're just not cool. Then when we get to be about 21, we see just about how cool mom and dad really were and how dumb we were, you know. But anyway, and when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And he said, I will rise and go to my father. So I'm going to tell you something. When you have a good father, especially God the Father, you know, it's always wise to get up and go to the Father, isn't it? I know there are many times when I've had time of need that I went to my Heavenly Father when I needed something. And also, I've always went to my Heavenly Father when I screwed up my life. Many times I've done that too. And he said, you know what? Come on in. He'll always let you in, won't he? He always does. Your Heavenly Father, you can't beat him. And he said, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. The point here is this. No matter what you've done, once you trust Christ as your Savior, no matter how far away you went, no matter how far from the Lord you have strayed, he will always accept you back into his fold. Will he not? He will never forsake you, never leave you. The ultimate Father is always there. He'll always give you back everything you've wasted, your entire life, on your deathbed. And I personally believe that on your deathbed, if you're a saved Christian, the Father will give you some kind of peace somehow. I don't know how, but I believe he will. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And verse 20, he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. You know what? You think his father was looking for him? I think so. I think his father was constantly looking for him. I don't know how far he was gone, but I do know one thing. He blew all his money. Probably took a little bit of time to do that. And then he had to eat with the pigs, and that he probably did that for a while, too. And then when he couldn't take any more, he said, I'm going to go back to my father. His father, whom he abandoned, he left. He didn't want to, give me my substance, Father. I'm leaving home. I don't want to be around here anymore. Now he realized what a father he really had. I'm no more worthy to be called by thy son. And his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his face and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. For this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. You know what? A good father will always accept you. He'll always be there. My father was. I thought, man, you know, this time I really fouled up. Boy, my dad's going to be, boy, he's really going to be upset, and he's going to come in here and just, but you know what? He'd defend me. I remember one time I was in jail, and I was being threatened by the deputies. They were going to take me outside and beat me up. And I was a little bit frightened, but I wouldn't talk to him. I still wouldn't talk to him, and my dad, I found out later, he said, he came down and he said, look, I want you to treat my son fair. I want you to keep him overnight, teach him a lesson, but if I find out you're not treating him fair, we're going to have a problem. I found out later he did that. No matter what I had done, he was always there to accept me back. Isn't that great? And so in closing, on this Father's Day, I think it would be wise to kind of look at our fathers real close and kind of say, well, I remember what he did. I remember what a father he was. But it's also be a wise thing to look at our Heavenly Father real close, wouldn't it? And what he did and what he will do and what he does do. It's always a wonderful thing to know that God the Father, the ultimate Father, is always there. And all I need to do is just read his word and absorb a little bit of his wisdom and a little bit of his understanding. And if I do that, I can be a good father and train my kids to be good fathers and mothers. And that's the ultimate goal. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close this morning. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the ultimate Father, who gave his life for all those who will trust in him as their Savior. He becomes the ultimate Father, the Father who gave his life. Every word in the Bible is the word of Jesus Christ. Wisdom, understanding, knowledge. The only kind of wisdom that comes from Almighty God. If we follow his instructions, we'll have a long life, a long prosperous life. And we need as fathers and mothers to teach them to our children so that they may grow to be prosperous fathers and mothers. And the circle goes. We thank you for Christ who gave his life for us that we might have eternal life with him in heaven. And we thank you for it in his name. Amen. Okay. Well,